It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Thanks a whole lot for tuning in this morning. We are on the air live. If you drive by the studios at 1035 West Main, you can see me and Ty Engelbright, former co-host of the show, in the studio this morning. Ty, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for coming in.
Happy Thanksgiving, Todd, and everybody out there. And I tell you what, it's become a tradition.
Yeah, I think we've done this every year for whatever it is now, 6 years in a row, I think.
Very much so. We had our anniversary show a couple months ago, back in, I guess, September, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then now we get another Turkey Day together, and it's always great to be here with you.
And live, again, live on the air.
Of course.
Who else goes the extra mile to be live on the air with a radio sports talk show on Thanksgiving morning?
I tell you, it's impressive, and it is exciting, exhilarating, all the adjectives you want to use, but it's great to be here this morning.
Well, and I always like going back to that first show we did, and longtime listeners of the show will have heard me say this before, but when we did that first show, we didn't even know how long we were going to go. Hey, we're going to start at 9 o'clock, and we'll just go till we get finished.
But we made it through. We usually have a little extra, and I have noticed that all the while used to be somewhat scripted, it's out the window now. We're just winging it.
Well, I've got a few notes.
Oh, you do? Oh, you know, I didn't see them. Stuck them in on me.
I've got a few notes, not as much as I used to. I used to have like 3 pages of notes.
But nothing's really scripted, though, just notes.
You know, when you first start, you don't know how long it's going to take to fill 60 minutes of airtime. No. You don't want to get stuck 25 minutes in and be out of notes.
So. Yeah, that's exactly right. You got to have something. So. But we've always managed.
Yeah.
And you've got somebody here that's really not knowledgeable in too many sports realms, but I'm here. So.
Well, and it was a great idea you had to have a sports show, and you know, I was glad I could do it, and here we are still going.
Yeah, and it was a collaborative effort, I would say, because what I envisioned didn't really come to fruition. You kind of laid the foundation for what it became and what it is, and so just like I said, it worked out great. Like I said, 6 years in, doing something right.
Yeah, the show's just kind of morphed, you know, naturally. I don't think we had a lot of guests when we first started, but now it's kind of a guest-heavy show, but that's okay, you know.
Right. I mean, we're talking sports and other things. So.
Yeah, that's, you know, we have a top five today, and it's not a Star Wars top five,
no.
So sports fans can hang with us today.
It's a sports top five, so it's good to have that.
Yeah, and it's a good one for Turkey Day.
I think so.
So we're going to hang on. We'll tell you
about
that.
Give you a little hint there.
Yeah. We'll tell you more later. We do want to get into some sports talk, though. And, of course, one of the biggest things so far, at least during basketball season, the havoc at the Hive in Fredonia. And, Ty, you were there just like I was.
I was. And what a really cool thing. You have to give all the credit and kudos and thanks to I think Fredonia First Baptist, Presley Lamb, and that group that has come in there and renovated the gym, put some money into it, invested in it. Because if you think about it, Fredonia is a special place, a unique place, and that school, that gym, for years and years was the heartbeat and the centerpiece of that community.
For sure.
And their basketball team.
Yeah.
I mean, the clock stopped when the team hit the court.
Mm-hmm.
And so What a neat night. What a great thing to have the Francis Bulldogs and the Fredonia Yellow Jackets go at it there in the Fredonia gym. And it was a pleasure to be there. And a little bit of connection. You know, my wife's late father was on that. I think it was a 53-54 team.
Yeah.
And
the region champs.
Yeah, the region champs. Got to go to the state. And, you know, that was kind of special. So we were kind of there for that. But we wanted to experience it as well. It was fun.
Well, I was afraid that maybe the actual event itself would not live up to the hype. But I think it did. I think everybody that was there really enjoyed it. Of course, I think it was sort of a labor of love for everyone in Fredonia to get the gym looking as good as it could. And, you know, they've put the old scoreboard out front. Uh-huh. It's actually got the score from the 1954 second region championship
54-47, wasn't it? Is that right?
Yes, I think it was over Charleston.
Yeah, over Charleston. And, just, you know, they've got shadow boxes up with memorabilia. The floor is incredible.
Yeah.
The finish on the floor is incredible. The whole gym, but the atmosphere is second to none. And I think I was told at one point that was one of the largest gyms in the area at one time.
Yeah. When it was built in the 1940s, it was like, you know, a showcase.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a top gym. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of other teams would want to come, especially when they had looked like they're going to be a maximum capacity. Now you get in there today compared to what we have, and you're like, my goodness. But you know, there were quite a few people there that night, and it made for that basketball was good. Both teams played with intensity. I thought the Tigers' defense was great. And it was nice to have a little hometown mix-up. You know, you had Matt Fralix, the coach of the Francis Bulldogs, and his dad, I think, was on the one of the assistants. Yeah. And then, you got the Tiger tradition for Fredonia. So it was pretty cool.
You know, I'd actually had an idea for a throwback game years ago. I mean, like 10, 12, 15 years ago. And I always wanted it to be Caldwell and Crittenden and to do the Fredonia and Francis thing. But I always wanted to do it like a game at Caldwell and a game at Crittenden County.
Right.
Then the opportunity just kind of presented itself. And Presley Lamb was showing me the gym one day, and he said, we're looking for events to get in here. And I just kind of thought, you know what would be cool? A basketball game. And then Presley Lamb just took that thing and ran with it, and everybody in Fredonia jumped on board, and Chuck Mitchell here was all in on it, and Matt Fralix was all in on it, and they just ran with that thing, and it was awesome.
It worked out great, and if you missed it, you know, maybe there'll be another opportunity at some time. Yeah. I think the first one was such a hit and success. I mean, it was special, so you don't maybe not want to do it too much because you want to make it an event. But what the cool thing was, when the game was over, you know, you had people hanging around afterwards and looking at all the memorabilia and people that went to school there, you know, reminiscing about the classrooms and this teacher and this game. So it was more than a basketball game. It was truly an event and a hometown sort of special kind of feeling.
Well, and the cool thing is the church hasn't just fixed up the gym.
Right.
It's fixed up the entire old school.
Right.
You know, so.
You got classrooms and, you know, they can have all kinds of cool events there. I mean, the you know, it's unlimited how they can utilize that space now.
Now, it was a little tight, but, I mean, that's kind of the charm of the old gyms.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to go play pickup games at Fredonia a lot of times on Wednesdays and Saturdays and weekends. And so we played Little League basketball in that gym a bunch. So, you know, I'm really familiar with it. It kind of surprised me how many people that showed up from, well, even some of the kids from Caldwell County and some of the kids from Crittenden County who had really never been in that gym.
Right. And like I said, it's just memories. It was fun to just walk around and look at people pointing.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of eavesdrop on some of the conversations, just the flow, just like you just mentioned, the flow of memories. You played Little League there. I heard so many other people playing. Well, my dad coached here. Yeah. You know, I played here. And then, of course, I remember you guys. I mean, there was a time when only a select few people could get in that thing, had a key to it, and then you'd have those pickup games, you know. And I know a time back in the 80s, you know, you guys would go down there. I think I was there only one time, and I was not a basketball player. So, but, you know, it's just a classic, and, when you have a bit of nostalgia like that, it just makes things special, and it was just a fun night.
Yeah, it was fun, and it was just glad that those kids got to experience that, and, you know, I'm trying to pass along that this is what it used to be like.
Exactly.
You know? Back in the day when you walked in, this place was full, you know, and yeah, the basketball was probably a little different 70 years ago than it is now. But, you know, some of the guys are almost too big and too quick for the smaller court anymore. But it was great to have it in there. And I even thought it affected the game a little bit because, you know, a lot of guys are used to getting the ball and going and getting up the court. Well, when the court is shorter, there's a lot more traffic in the middle of the floor than there is on a larger floor. So I think both teams kind of had to adapt to that just a little bit.
No doubt. And then, of course, I mean, you're sitting right on the floor.
Yeah.
Spectators were there. And
you're part of the game.
You're part of the game, especially if you're on those first two rows. And then you notice the players as the game went on. You know, they were a little conscious of the sideline and then where the people were sitting. Yeah. So it does kind of change the dynamic of the game somewhat.
But the same thing at the Butler Gym. And, you know, Caldwell's going to play some throwback games at the Butler Gym next month. I think the guys are playing Trigg County and the girls are playing Crittenden County. And I don't believe there's any plans for any old uniforms, but still, we're going to be inside the Butler Gym. And to me, the great thing about the Butler Gym, again, was the crowd was right on top of you. It was a huge home court advantage because, you know, you get that place full, and it was intimidating to opposing teams to come in there and try to play.
It was. It was, and especially when it would be just a little bit warm in there, it'd be a cold winter night, they'd have the heat cranked up in there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, when we were in high school, that's where our games were played, and wonderful memories that – the Butler Gym still smells the way it did, you know, 40 years ago. So it's fun to go in there, and it is an incredible atmosphere because you're sitting right on top of it. And I remember when opposing teams would come in, the chants would start.
Yeah.
I mean, all in good fun, but you could tell it affected the other team big time.
Yeah, the people in the front row were literally on the floor. You know, I mean, you're like right there with the players. So
yeah, it was. We had this guy. I remember. I'll never forget my senior year, we had a district game or something. Livingston Central came over, and they had this redheaded kid. And, I mean, they yelled Opie the whole night. You know, Opie, Opie, you know, air ball, Opie. And, I mean, the poor kid was just rattled out there, couldn't do a thing. Yeah. But that is the power when you're sitting on top and you have people. I mean, yeah, you look back and, yeah, it was – I mean, they got in the guy's head.
Yeah.
And so that's the power of that home field advantage, especially when you're sitting on top of them.
Well, and Butler is downtown, so a lot of people can walk to it. You know, we can't really walk to the cab. It'd be a bit of an adventure, but I guess you could.
You could.
But it's downtown. A lot of people, it's a couple of blocks away, so people would walk to the game.
I grew up about a block and a half from there. So, I mean, I walked to school, and, I mean, that school campus, that Butler campus was – excuse me, was where, you know, it was a lot of, you know, riding bikes up there and shooting hoops. And but, yeah, that is a cool thing to have a gym right in the middle of your town.
You know, the scary thing.
Fredonia.
Yeah, the scary thing about the Butler Gym and one of those signs that, oh, my gosh, we're getting older, is that we've actually played longer now in the community activities building than what we played at Butler.
You're kidding. See, I didn't. There's the sports trivia that I had no idea.
Yeah. Because it was, what, 87, 88, I think?
Yeah, that's the – yeah.
I always get this wrong. I'm always a year off, it seems like, sometimes on that. But it was – I think it was
– Your class was the last graduating class to graduate in there. Now, that was probably the last –
out of Butler, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the last – was that the last basketball season there? Or did we have one more?
I can't remember for sure. That was 87.
Yeah, because I know the cab was being constructed, and that was probably either that year or one more year, and that was it.
Yeah, we got to sweat it out in Butler that year, and then the class of 88 had air conditioning at the cab gym.
Yes.
Not that I remember or anything.
No. That's right. But, yeah, great memories, and I can't – it's always fun to go into the Butler Gym, whether you're just taking a walk around the perimeter, you know, or – because, I mean, I used to just walk in there. I'd go on my lunch break and walk, and you just – the smells, the memories, you know, we had gym in there when we were in middle school, and then you'd go to the basketball games. You had middle school dances. You had some high school dances, you know, all kinds of stuff. So – just those if those walls could talk, you know what I'm saying? It's just incredible.
Well, and the cab gym is better in every way. You know, there's more locker rooms, there's more space. People are not on the court, which from a safety standpoint is probably good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you kind of lose that old feel of the old gyms that, you know, I mean, it kind of smacks you in the face when you walk in Fredonia or walk into Butler that, you know, there's the court and then there's not much room except for bleachers.
Yes, and boy, it was on. It was demonstrated at the Havoc at the Hive because it was everybody right there. In fact, when I first got there, we had to move because I said, you know, the players are going to sit here.
Yeah.
And you know, I was right down there out front, and I'm kind of glad I did move because you know there was the bleachers were just packed, and it was just an electric atmosphere. People were reminiscing, and it was just a pleasure to see a basketball game there like that.
Fredonia, though, like Butler, there's not a bad seat in the house. Mm-mm. I mean, no matter where you were at Fredonia, you were right there on top of things.
No, and even if you're back there on the old stage, you know, I kind of wanted to lean up against the popcorn popper for a minute. Yeah. You had a great view because the players are coming right at you in the end zone, you know. So, great seats and a great atmosphere, and I just got a little twinge of hope in the back that there'll be another event like that there sometime. It'll be fun.
Ty Engelbright is in with us in the studio this morning, a live Thanksgiving Day edition of the Sideline Report. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
As a bank that's been part of the Caldwell County communities for almost 140 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we worked alongside. We affirm our commitment to the shared values that brought us here. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're your locally owned Benjamin Moore retailer. We're your store for quality with brilliant and durable paints in a variety of sheens and thousands of colors. We're your store for service with one-on-one advice for contractors and homeowners. We're your local experts, and we're here to help with all your painting projects. Benjamin Moore at Joiner Hardware on Main Street in Princeton.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricios.com. That's Tricios.com.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. For a limited time, take advantage of 0% financing for 84 months on new Case IH Farm All tractors. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new tractor that works as hard as you, Case IH Farm All. Whether you're mowing, baling, feeding, loading, you name it, we have the tractor for you. Stop by and see us at H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today and talk to our sales team about the limited time financing offer you don't want to miss.
While supplies last, customers must qualify for program with CNHI Capital.
Hi, this is Lorraine Brandon, and I'm proud to have served in this community for 45 years. As a bank that's been part of the Princeton community for over 139 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we have worked alongside. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580-103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in on a special Turkey Day edition of the Sideline Report. Ty Engelbright is in the studio with us. He's a former co-host and friend of the Sideline Report, so we have him back often. And, Ty, we do have a top five coming up. You want to tell everybody what we got coming up?
Yeah, of course, it's being Turkey Day and lots of football. Yeah. And we decided to stay within the football realm and go with our top five all-time football players.
NFL players.
As far as, you know, we didn't take our favorite teams. We just kind of just didn't really put any conditions on it, just our top five NFL players.
So that'll be interesting, and we need to get to another break, but we'll come back and have the top five for you right after this. Stay with us as we roll on here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Brantley Furniture, family-owned and located in the heart of downtown Princeton. Jeannie and Megan invite you to come in and check out their selection of furniture, bedding, and gifts. Financing is available.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, overnight low 32 degrees. By this Thanksgiving afternoon, sunny skies, high near 53, south-southwest breezes 5 to 10 miles an hour. Thursday night, increasing cloud cover with a low around 34, and then Friday, mostly sunny, high near 52. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low around 31. But back to right now, an overnight low of freezing by this afternoon. Sunny skies, 53 degrees for Thanksgiving.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers, Preston Burrell and Cole Wyatt, as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Thanks for tuning in this morning to the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, we are live in the studios at 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Ty Engelbright in with us this morning. And Ty, time for our top five. And this used to be a staple on the show, and we would go anywhere with this. You know, we'd do music or movies or whatever.
Right.
And we may still do
Star Trek heavy. I think we need to make it pretty eclectic, you know.
We need to get back to our top five Star Wars movies one of these days.
Yeah,
but today, we're doing top five NFL players all time. Can be your favorite team, not your favorite team, whatever you want. So I'll let you go first.
And very, very hard because you got eras in the NFL. You've got different things. So probably stuck more to my era, our era back in the 70s and 80s, and then maybe even a little bit further back. But anyway, I'm going to start. No really order for mine, but I tried to be a little bit diverse in position, although you end up being quarterback and running back heavy just because of their position, you know, and when you're a kid, the way they make you feel.
Those tend to be the iconic players, though.
Yeah, they do. But I'm going to start with this one, and it's a linebacker from the Chicago Bears, Dick Butkus. You just got to love the name.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say / Lawrence Taylor from the New York Giants, but just because they were such dominating defensive players, and the guys were scared to be out there on the field with them, and they rip your head off.
Yeah.
And you could, back in the day when Butkus played, could rip their heads off, you know?
Yeah, Butkus was the ultimate linebacker, and of course, Lawrence Taylor kind of redefined you know, that defensive lineman spot because he'd be on the end or he might come from the middle.
He may come from it. Yeah, so he was all over the place. But anyway, that would be, I think that's the only defensive players that I have. And then, of course, we got to talk about another Bear from the air, and that is Sweetness, Walter Payton. And a lot of great backs out there you could choose, but in my mind, Walter Payton, he's the magic man. They was called Sweetness for a reason.
You know, somehow back in the 70s and 80s, professional athletes just had a style that I think has gone from the sport now. I don't know why. Go back to the old NBA in the 70s and 80s, and guys had flair.
Yeah.
Walter Payton had flair when he ran the football.
He had flair, and I love the headband, and he just had flair. You know, shoes would fly off and everything, so... Anyway, Walter Payton. This next guy is a quarterback, one of my favorite teams he played on. Wasn't very successful with them. Was 1 year.
Yeah.
And then went to another team and had one of the most incredible Super Bowl performances of all time, and that would be Doug Williams.
Yeah.
And just, you know, took the Bucs from worst to first in 1979. That was my favorite team. And then, of course, was later on the Washington Redskins, and I forget what Super Bowl was, but had just an incredible Super Bowl performance and led the Redskins in a dominating performance. I forget what Super Bowl was, but you know what I'm talking about. You remember it. So Doug Williams just was a great guy. I loved him as a Buck, and I was so glad for him when he won a Super Bowl MVP, I think, that year, and then just had an incredible performance. For some reason, in 1981, when I moved here, I started to get friends, but I moved here in actually 80, but that football season, you know, I just got HBO and Inside the NFL with Lynn Dawson and Nick Bonaconte was on, and so you could get a recap of all the games and all the cool NFL films, music, you know. I got in to the Oakland Raiders, and of course they met the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
That was Dick Vermeil's coming out party, so to speak, with the Eagles.
Ron Jaworski.
Yeah. But Jim Pluckett was my man for the Oakland, and Jim Pluckett was MVP of Super Bowl 15, I think, and that was 81. And I love that team, and I really love Jim Pluckett, so I'm going to put Jim Pluckett on there because I followed that team and I loved it.
Okay.
Then my number one has got to be Roger Staubach from the Dallas Cowboys, just because I was, you know, that year, Super Bowl 10 when they played, I think it was the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
I was always kind of – my cousin loved the Dallas Cowboys. I had a good friend who loved the Dallas Cowboys, so I got on the bandwagon. And just something about Roger Staubach, you know, Naval Academy grad, you know, All-American guy, great quarterback, great athlete, Roger the Dodger.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Those Denver Broncos, I think, were quarterbacked by Craig Morton.
Craig Morton.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly right. And he was a Cowboy at one time, I think.
Yeah.
Okay,
so good list.
Thank you.
I've got mine. I've got a few honorable mentions because I always cheat.
Yep, that's all right.
Walter Payton's on there. Dan Marino. Marino play. I was never a big Miami Dolphins fan, but I'd watch Marino.
Probably the best. There's no doubt the best quarterback to ever play that doesn't have a Super Bowl. No doubt about it. And maybe the best quarterback to ever play.
Got to the Super Bowl his
Never
rookie
won
year,
it. Yep, yep.
And then never got back.
Never
got said
back.
Later he thought, oh, we thought this would be like an every year thing.
Yeah.
Never got back.
Yep.
Ken Stabler, Dan Fouts.
I love Stabler. The
used
snake.
To love watching the NFL. Didn't matter what team was on because everybody had somebody, like I said, that was just one of these guys that you just wanted to see.
Remember the hot game, San Diego. It was a playoff game. It was San Diego. Where were they? And Kellen Winslow got overheated.
Miami.
That's right. Yeah. The Orange Bowl. That's right. And I mean that was somewhere around that 80-81.
Yeah.
And man, that was an incredible performance by all those guys.
So here's my top five. I got number five, Mean Joe Green.
Oh yeah.
Grew up a Steelers fan,
Oh, yeah. So
you know that's going to be on there. And of course, he had the commercial.
Thanks, Mean Joe!
Yeah. Hey, kid, yeah. Catch, you know.
That's great.
My number four is Earl Campbell.
Oh, Earl the Pearl, yeah.
Not a big Oilers fan. As a matter of fact, they were kind of the enemy because, you know, I was a Steelers fan. But Earl Campbell, man.
I loved Earl Campbell. You know, he was fantastic. And, of course, you had to love Bum Phillips.
Yeah. I mean, everything I had was, like, Steelers stuff. Except I had a shirt that had a number 34, you know, in the light blue, you know, the baby blue.
Yes, your list is dominating mine.
So Earl Campbell was great.
Yeah, that's a great.
And
one.
I remember Bum Phillips. The media was giving him a hard time one time because apparently they had this mile run and Earl Campbell hadn't finished it. So Bum Phillips said, "Well, when it's third and a mile, we won't give him the ball."
I love it. I mean, I could watch Bum Phillips NFL films videos all day long.
Number three for me is Eric Dickerson.
Yes.
Watched him at SMU.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
back.
Most of the reason I became a Rams fan later on is Eric Dickerson.
Yep.
Number two, Kurt Warner.
Yes. Another great quarterback.
Went from stocking shelves in a grocery store to
great
playing
story.
In the Arena Football League, and then he gets to the NFL, and he's like a multiple-time MVP, wins a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So Kurt Warner. And my number one's got to be Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, you got to put him up there.
Steelers guy, I mean, Terry Bradshaw was the guy.
Jack Lambert about made my list too.
Yeah, I thought about him.
I love that he had the two front teeth out like a hockey player, and he looked like a vampire over there, and he was going to rip your head off too. You knew that.
But the whole Steelers team back then, I mean, there was a reason they were dominant in the 70s.
No doubt.
I mean, they just had everybody.
Jack Hamm.
Yeah.
Rocky Blyer. I mean, you can start
Franco
naming
Franco Harris.
Yeah, Franco.
Lynn Swann.
Yeah.
John Stallworth.
John Stallworth.
I almost had Stallworth on my list.
Well, you could put them all on there. And, I mean, you couldn't like Pittsburgh if you liked Dallas back then.
Right.
So, but as in hindsight, as you look back, what an incredible team.
Yeah.
And of course, their coach was incredible. It was a dynasty for then. But then – we didn't mention Joe Montana.
No.
I mean, my God.
Or Jerry Rice.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. So, but these are our players.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'm sure if we were a little older, we would have had a Joe Namath on there or those kind of guys. A Gale Sayers.
Yeah. Fred Blitnikoff.
Yeah. I mean, you can go back a long way on some of these teams and just keep spitting out players. And
definitely. And I'd like to do our coaches sometime.
That would be
something we need to think about because, you know, you could go back. The personalities of the coaches were incredible. Yeah. I love the old NFL. I spend a lot of time on YouTube looking at old NFL films of the coaches and all the great shows. I love NFL films. I don't, you know, those Sable brothers were incredible.
Yeah. But you talk about back in the day you were a Steelers fan or you were a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Well, if you were baseball, you were probably either a Dodgers fan or a
Yankees fan, no doubt.
Because they were on TV all the time.
And they dominated from about 75 to 1980. I mean, that's who was going to meet in the World Series. Billy Martin was great, you know.
And back then, you didn't have access to every game in every league.
Right.
You got what you got on the weekend.
That's exactly right. And it's a different time now because you can buy a sports package for your favorite team and favorite college team and whatever. Back then, you got what you got.
Well, and you can watch on your phone today. I mean, you can pull up a game and watch it. But back then, I think we were a little more appreciative of a game being on TV.
No doubt.
Because that's all we got.
Yes.
You know? And so it was kind of fun. And
three channels.
Yeah. And like I said, on the weekend when the NFL was playing, you got whatever game they were showing that week, and
I would always hope
it was a Steelers game. But if it wasn't, I was still watching because I liked all these other guys that were on different teams. Everybody had somebody that I wanted to see.
Yeah, and it was just, and then of course, like I said, you had the start of the inside the NFL was a big thing. Not everybody had HBO back then. I was privileged, but you started to have cable, and then you could watch the recaps. I mean, every game. I mean, I kept up with it because I mean, I didn't miss the show, but I knew what every team had done the week before, and so and then they set you up for the upcoming week.
Yeah.
So. But that was not until like when we were in the 70s we didn't have that.
Yeah, the big thing about Monday Night Football back in the day is halftime highlights.
Yes.
Because you didn't get to see all those highlights the day before. There was no Sports Center. You know, you couldn't pull up your phone and see the highlights. So you would watch Howard Cosell do halftime highlights on Monday Night Football.
And wasn't that a treat?
Yeah.
I mean that you look at that classic Monday Night Football lineup, and I mean you can still the memories just kind of flow in front of your face when you had Don Meredith and even OJ was on there. You had Frank Gifford on there, but you look back at those old guys, you know, and of course Howard Cosell, I mean, my goodness, what an icon.
Yeah, he was kind of the guy back in the day.
Yes, and I loved everything he did. I loved the big boxing matches that he would, you know, he and Muhammad Ali had an incredible relationship, and I mean, I loved watching those old heavyweights go at it, you know, and he was at every fight. So
tell it like it is.
You know, tell it like that. That's exactly right. And you know, and then if you go back, you know, the night John Lennon got killed, you know, he's breaking news to the country on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, they announced that on Monday Night Football.
And I mean, that's where the majority of the people, you know, so it's incredible to think the power. You think, oh, I'm just watching a football game, but yet, you know, you had some incredible news and you had sports guys that were so professional to deliver that news in a way that was appropriate and responsible. Mm. I mean, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, you go back and watch some documentaries and some news stories on that situation. They actually debated a long time on whether or not they were going to announce that information.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there would be live coverage on 50 different news networks. Every channel would have it live. Back then, there was no CNN or Fox News or any of those things. So they actually debated for the longest time on do we actually tell, you know, the country that John Lennon has been shot.
And they finally decided that it was their responsibility to do so, and they had to. And I think it fell on Howard Cosell. Yeah. I think he was like, I'll do it.
I think the producer finally said, Howard, I think you need to go ahead and say this. And and he said it. And
That's incredible. Of course, that's another realm that we're getting into of sports that is, you know, it covers news, it covers emotion, it covers everything because it was just a different time. But it makes it so special.
Well, and as a sports reporter sometimes, you never know when you're going to be covering a sporting event and actual news breaks out.
Exactly.
You know, I remember the earthquake, was it?
89. San Francisco and Oakland,
You know, the World Series is coming on. They're literally on the air doing the pregame show.
Exactly.
Al Michaels and the ABC crew and the earthquake hits.
Yep.
You know, and they end up canceling the game. The series gets pushed back. Of course, just devastation all over Southern California. And those sports guys that were all already there became the news reporters for that event.
Yeah, they certainly did. And that's something that, you know, when you look at the professionalism of those guys, you know, they're not necessarily trained to break, you know, regular news. And when you see it happening in a live setting, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, like I said, that's what's so great about this show. Here we go. You know, but I think it's important to mention that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
We're talking with Ty Engelbright this morning, former co-host of the Sideline Report here on WPKY. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more. Stay with us as we continue on this special live Thanksgiving Day edition of the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Persnickety Pig is open. Friendly, courteous staff, fabulous selections, and a style as unique as you. As unique as their name. The Persnickety Pig, Broadbent Square, Katy's. Follow on social media.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 32 degrees by this afternoon, this Thanksgiving afternoon. Sunny skies, high near 53. Thursday night, increasing cloud cover, low around 34. And then Friday, mostly sunny, high of 52. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low around 31. Northeast winds about 10 to 20 miles an hour. But back to right now, an overnight low of 32 by this Thanksgiving afternoon. Sunny skies, 53 degrees.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice for Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family. Because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances. Because you're like family, and family is everything.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com, and Ty Engelbright in the studio with me this morning. And Ty, we were just talking. We missed a big one there. Jim McKay and the 1972 Olympics. I mean, that was a case of where he was the lead announcer for the Olympic coverage, and then you had the hostage situation.
In Munich, yeah. The 1972, yeah. And another example where, you know, you're going to have a day where you think you're going to be broadcasting Olympic coverage, and then you're going to have an international geopolitical event right there. So, yeah, it's just you never know.
Yeah, as a sports reporter, you've got to always be ready.
You've got to be on your toes.
Yeah, you know, just interesting. I remember the reports, all the networks, they would go to Al Michaels, and they would go to these other sports guys after the earthquake out in California, mm-hmm. and you're like, hey, those are the sports guys, and they're doing news. And
well, it's wherever news happens, and there's no doubt in my mind, if you're at a sporting event and something important breaks out that you've got to let your public know about, guess what? You're going to put on your news hat, and you've been there before. Well, you can do it. I mean, I know it's not the most pleasant thing, or you may not have to cover something, but you just do it.
Well, on a local level, when the tornado hits,
yeah.
We all became news
reporters.
People.
Sure, yeah, and there's no doubt, and thank goodness we have a local outlet that can provide local coverage mm-hmm. like that. And it's you're blessed to live in a community that has people that are dedicated for that.
And all that said, I'm perfectly fine if we never have another tornado.
I
if
hear
there's
you.
Never an earthquake, if there's never any kind of local disaster like that, I'm.
Definitely.
I'm cool with all
I've
that,
got some experience with it as well. And I tell you, when that happens to a community, it's nice to see a community come together as it did. And you just hope anything like that never happens. But if you're somewhere that it does, the community to have a rally, you know, can rally around each other and support each other, it's very important.
Well, on this Thanksgiving Day, I'm thankful that we have people like you and all the first responders and
thank you.
That are there to make sure we get taken care of the best that everybody can.
It's an honor to do what I do. I don't know if anybody I work at it at the Caldwell County Dispatch, the Pennyroyal Emergency Assistance Center, and it's an honor to do it. I love it. Been out there almost 4 years, and it's good to work for the community behind the scenes, but we have some fantastic, all our emergency services and law enforcement. Kudos to them on this Thanksgiving. We're definitely thankful for them, as we are a lot of folks in this community for what they do.
Well, I'm thankful you could come in and be on the show again. And
thank you.
Like I said, one of these days we're going to get back to where we do our Star Wars top five. And, you know, there'll be some people that are all sports and maybe don't like the Star Wars top five. Mm-hmm. Other people, though, I think enjoy the Star Wars
top five. Some people do enjoy the Star Wars top five. And every once in a while we'll talk some sports as well.
Yeah.
But it's always a pleasure to come here and be on WPKY. You talk about a heartbeat of a community, and I've always been very proud to have been associated with WPKY over the years, in several times with you especially. I think you and I now go back over 30 years in the media business together in some way, shape, or form. It's a wonderful friendship. I'm thankful for our relationship, and I'm always thankful that you asked me to come back.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of laughing because I'm thinking about the picture that keeps making the rounds.
Yeah,
of me when I think I was about 10. It looks like
you look like you're. I mean, yeah, it's incredible. So what Todd's referring to, I think Twyman Boren,
yes,
who used to manage and own the station in the good old days. I hear rumors that he's maybe penned a book. I'm not sure, but I think, and so
it'd
he
be
was
interesting
going
to see.
Yeah, I think so. So he has gone through some pictures. So at the game the other night, yeah. I get this picture, boop, testing me. He goes, "Who is this?" And so he had sent one of me and Uncle Briggs and himself
yeah.
in a picture. So that was kind of cool. I had not seen that picture. Apparently his daughter Carolyn took that picture at our 37th anniversary in 1986, in March
wow.
of 86. And then he sends me a picture of you in the broadcast booth in a gym somewhere yeah. in Western Kentucky.
In Hopkinsville. Okay. It was the regional tournament in Hopkinsville, but I'm not exactly sure which year.
And another famous sports guy
yeah.
is sitting next to you from the Times Leader, Joey Randolph.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing that was somewhere. You came to work at the station right about 86, 87, I think.
85.
Okay.
Late 85.
I was
maybe,
late 84. Yeah. You were right there with, you know, you were there right after, right, you know, we were there basically together. So that was probably around 86 because you grabbed that headset and went, it maybe 87.
It took me a couple of years to yeah. get on the sports broadcast, so maybe it was closer to 87,
yeah.
88.
You were still in high school. You
yeah.
made it in your senior
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
But you do look 10.
Yeah. I tell everybody I started covering sports when I was 10.
Yeah.
So
and
I've got
so,
photo proof of it now.
And it's classic. And I mean, Todd, you know, we all went different directions in our radio careers. But Todd was ready to get on the sport, and he grabbed the headsets, and it was ready. And Todd was innovative. I remember he'd take a cassette player and record different sections of the game and be able to play it back
yeah.
in the post-game highlights.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was it. For the time, that was innovative, man.
Yeah. Well, and the guy on the other side of me in that picture is Scott Brown.
Mm.
So you
okay,
know, because,
there you go.
WPKY and WKDZ
yeah,
were side by side. So.
Yeah.
There you go. Scott and I have both been doing it for 100 years.
Yeah, no doubt, and both solid as can be. So congratulations to you all for being there.
But, you know, if Twyman's got a book coming out, that's awesome.
I've heard rumors of that.
You know, there have been some incredible people that came through WPKY that went on to big careers and big
yeah.
markets.
Yeah, no doubt. And, yeah, there are several out there, and the thing about you know, working for WPKY back in the day was that no matter if you made it in the big time or doing what you're doing now, it touched you and it educated you and they guided you and they I can't tell you how you talk about an honor and a privilege to be able to be a young person and them give you the responsibility. To, you know, I did my senior year, you signed on, you know, you're 17, 18 years old, and you're signing on a radio station
yeah.
for the community.
Getting there at 5:30
yeah.
in the morning.
Now, that's where I learned to drink coffee.
Yeah.
but you know, and it's a big responsibility. And then you'd go roll into school, and your English teacher, would say, well, they'd listen to you in the morning, and they'd you know, correct you when you made a mistake. You'd get a call out there. Marty Pressler, our librarian.
Okay.
To this day, she'd call me and go, now I need that weather every so often, you know, so that my girls can, you know, I know how to dress my girls. And so I did it, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a pleasure to be a part of that.
Well, it was a great place to learn. You
yeah.
know, you were given a chance to not be very good with the hope that eventually you would get better.
And to innovate
yeah.
and to use your imagination
yeah.
and to, you know, shift outside the paradigm of thinking and learn to do stuff
yeah.
on your own. So, yeah, I will treasure my experience at WPKY in the mid-80s like no other.
Yeah. Again, I appreciate you coming in today and talking. And,
thank you, Todd.
I think we could probably talk about WPKY radio mm-hmm. all day because
no doubt.
Just between the two of us, I think we know about half the people that ever worked there.
We yeah, and like I said, I told Twyman the other day, and I know we're cutting short. You know, I had a privilege of being there for the 36th anniversary and be here for the 70th anniversary and doing the mornings both times. You know,
yeah.
I was the morning man 35 years later.
Wow.
So it was kind of neat. So, and I had the privilege of being the manager of WPKY,
yeah.
although it was a short time.
Yeah.
But anyway, Todd, always great to be with you. Happy Thanksgiving. You're a good friend, and I cherish that as well.
Yeah, so happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate you coming in, and we'll do it again.
I hope so.
That's Ty Engelbright, former co-host, as I say, friend of the show, and appreciate him coming in. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for listening to this live edition of the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Again, thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.